Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
I don't know if many of you chaps have had the same experience. The women needn't listen to this. But if a girl you're not absolutely mad about gets wild with you, you know, really lets her hair down, well, you can't take it seriously. It's just funny. Of course, if you're fond of them, it's different. That's just what happened to me. I was supposed to take Stella out, but I had to see Marcia, and she said, stay to dinner. I turned up at Stella's about an hour and a quarter late. Bad show, I admit. And you should have seen her. Oh, boy. Mind you, I don't know what I've got to laugh about. I only went to see Marcia because of this Angela Tennant business. Angela's been driving the poor kid frantic with a lot of stuff about Harry Palmer. I can't make head nor tail of it. But since I have the evening free, I'm having a word with Angela on the subject myself.
Dear boy, I'm delighted. It's ages since anyone came to see me after 9 at night. Pull up a chair.
Thanks. Listen, Angela. What are you trying to do to Marcia?
Oh, so she told you.
Of course she told me. It's none of my business if she wants to lend you money. But why kid her along with a lot of nonsense about what's going to happen to Harry Palmer?
Maybe it's not nonsense.
What can you do now?
I can do plenty. Watch and wait, dear boy.
Very well. If it's going to make you happy, I'll pretend to believe you. Now, just suppose you tell me what's going on.
Oh, Jeff, don't be a bore. Not from their scotch in the sideboard and a nice fire going.
I only dropped in to see if I could get any sense out of you. It looks as though I might as well drop out again.
Already?
Unless you want to say something coherent.
About Palmer and Marcia, I have nothing to say at all.
Well, I have. Haven't you a solitary shred of decency, Angela? Haven't you done enough already?
Where's my decency involved now, darling?
You know as well as I do, Palmer's out of our reach, and the rat always will be. And yet because Marcia's too generous, because she's always been a soft touch, you still hide to pitch her a lot of tripe. For what? Just suppose you can get a few pounds out of her to keep your hangovers at bay.
For a man who's practically divorced from Marcia, you're showing a lot of concern. She can afford an occasional 20 or so. And my hangovers, darling, simply aren't to be borne. So...
I'm not up in the air because you've got your hand out every time you go near Marcia. I just wish you'd stop scaring the life out of her with a lot of claptrap. If you had anything on Palmer at this stage, you'd let me know, wouldn't you?
No, dearie, I wouldn't. Marcia didn't say anything to you about my health, did she?
No, she didn't.
Good girl, she promised not to.
What's your health to do with it? I'd say the only thing wrong with you is cirrhosis of the liver.
Jeff, clear off, would you? I can't stand much more.
Oh, for the love of Mike, what have you got to be tearful about?
Just go.
All right. Oh, hang it all, I don't want to upset you, Angela. But you have to admit, neither Marcia nor I owe you a thing. Why can't you stop being a humbug?
I promise I'll stop being a humbug. I'll stop being anything at all. Just go, Jeff, that's all. Come on, run along like a good man. Good night.
You women, you're beyond me. Good night, Angela.
That wasn't fair, Jeff. But I can't blame you. Oh, well. Better get on with this letter to Marcia, I suppose.
Stella, let's have a look at that letter from the Harbour Trust again, will you? I shouldn't have been so obviously amused last night. Ooh, how she can flounce. Yeah, thanks. Stella?
Yes?
Do I notice a certain tension in the air?
I wouldn't know.
The expression is corny and you would know. What's on your mind?
The statement of viability I'm trying to type is on my mind.
How's it going? Hmm? Come on, snap out of it. Or I'll have to charge up the street and buy you a licorice stick. I'm sorry about last night.
If it's all the same to you, I'd like to get this done in time for the... You should be sorry.
Well, I said I am. You don't have to go on like an outraged wife, do you? If we were married, you'd probably be out in the kitchen banging things.
If we were married and you spent three quarters of your time chasing about after Marcia, I'd do more than bang things.
Until last night, I hadn't been near Marcia for weeks.
Why should you go near her at all?
I told you. She was in a flap about Angela Tennant.
So you had to sit and hold the poor little thing's hand. The fact that you kept me hanging about didn't mean a thing. It was perfectly all right seeing you with dear Marcia, eating her disgusting food.
Now, look, aren't you making rather a fuss about nothing?
I don't consider it nothing. No one's going to hold me cheap, Jeff. Not even you.
I'm the last person in the world to hold you cheap. Last night I simply lost track of the time, and I'm frightfully sorry.
You wouldn't have lost track of the time if you'd been feeding by yourself or with some of your chums, or with anyone but Marcia. I don't know if you think I enjoy this sort of thing. We never go out anywhere. We're perpetually short of money. We don't even know if we'll ever get out of this infernal mess. And last night was the last straw.
Stella, I'm not holding you to anything.
Is that an invitation for me to get out? If I don't like it, I can take myself off. Is that it?
I didn't say anything of the kind.
No, but you meant it. I'm the one who's sticking to you. I'm the one who insisted on butting into your life, unasked. So I have to take what you dish out and like it. That's what you meant.
I did not.
Well, I'm not taking it, Jeff. And I'm not getting out either. I've given up the best part of 3 years for you. And they're too precious to throw away just because you're weak-witted about Marcia.
I didn't ask you to give up 5 minutes.
But you'd have been in a glorious pickle if I hadn't. You might find it easy to forget, but I don't. And what I'm saying now is only fair, Jeff, isn't it?
If you're trying to make... Yes, Stella, it's only fair. It's so fair that we'd better start getting some work done. That's if you ever want me to make enough money to buy you a wedding ring. That letter from the harvester.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Tennant.
Morning, Mr. Hogan.
Just run off these deeds to the vault, please, Miss Fricker. Now, Mr. Tennant, how can we be of service?
It's a very simple little thing I want you to do for me. Here's a letter. It's rather more than a letter, actually, addressed to Mrs. Marcia Pilgrim.
Yes, I see.
It's really vitally important. I'm going away for a while tomorrow, and I want this posted to Mrs. Pilgrim. But the point is, I don't want it posted for a week or so. Will you look after it for me?
Oh, with pleasure.
I want it registered. There must be no mistake. The letter must be posted, but not for at least 6 days.
That's very easily arranged. Let's make a note now. To be posted on May the 5th?
Today's the 29th. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yes, the 5th.
Have no fear, Mr. Tennant. We'll have this delivered to Mrs. Pilgrim by registered post, without fail.
Tell me, Mr. Hogan, are there any circumstances in which you would not post the letter?
Such as what?
Well, anything that might occur to you as my solicitor. Suppose... Just for argument's sake, of course, that Mrs. Pilgrim were to die in the next few days.
It depends entirely upon your instructions.
Very well. That letter is to be posted no matter what. It's to be posted under all and every circumstance. Anything you can possibly imagine. She must get it. And nothing is to prevent you seeing that she does. Is that clear?
Perfectly, Mrs. Tennant.
It's so important to me that I'd even want it sent if I were to die before the 5th myself. Not that I have the least intention of dying.
Oh, Lord, love us, Mrs. Tennant. Let's hope not. Goodbye. You can leave the matter in my hands. Pleasant trip.
Goodbye. That's about the lot. Marcia has been put in the proper frame of mind. I've told Inspector James that I've been repeatedly threatened by Palmer. I have Palmer's fingerprints on a carefully preserved glass at my flat. And I have 150 grains of luminol supplied by my doctor. Mr. White, my next-door neighbor, overheard Palmer threatening to screw my neck the other night. I have Palmer's cigarette case to bait the hook. And I've the time, the motive, and the opportunity. All I have to do now is find Harry Palmer. Harry, I... Now you're going to call me the most frightful fool, but do you know what?
I'm twittering to hear.
I don't know how I could have done it, and I don't know how I could have made the mistake.
Do get to the point, Angela.
When you were at my flat the other night, I looked for it in my bag, but, darling, it was in the wrong bag.
What was, your razor-sharp stiletto dipped in venom?
No, silly man, your cigarette case.
Oh, that. Oh, so you finally decided you didn't want it, eh?
I'd have given it to you at the time if I'd known.
Oh, yes, of course you would. Well, seeing it's turned up, what about handing it over now?
But don't you see, darling, it's still at the flat. If I'd had the slightest idea I'd run into you like this, of course I'd have brought it along. I tell you what, Harry, sometime when you're passing, why don't you pop your head in the door? Tonight, if you're doing nothing, are you?
No, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'll be home if it's worth a special trip out.
Why not? But I won't be staying.
Darling, you haven't been asked to. What time?
Oh, about 8, I suppose.
All right, then. Round about 8. I hate your very innards, Palmer, dear boy, but I'm still very sorry to have pinched your case. Goodbye now. Don't forget.
I won't forget, Petal. And I'll have my eyes peeled, too. I haven't forgotten what happened the last time you invited me to your flat. Oh, no. 8 o'clock, eh?
Stage is set. The web is spun. At 8 o'clock, enter Mr. Palmer the fly. At 8 o'clock, tonight.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.